'Tis not that I did choose thee, Lord, for Lord, that could not be.
Todd's Road Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nybert. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nybert.
John chapter 1, verse 29, we read these words. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. I hope I'm speaking to someone who has some awareness of their guilt and their sin before God. If that would be you, you wonder how God could ever have anything to do with anyone like you. I hope I have a message from the Lord for you. If you wonder what can be done about my sin, how can my sin be taken away? How can I stand before God without guilt? Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Now, when John said that, he was fulfilling the preacher's mission and purpose to point men to the Lord Jesus Christ. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Behold, and keep looking, not at yourself, not at your good works, not at your bad works, not at your religious experience, not at your faith, not at your feelings, but behold the Lamb of God. I love that story in Numbers when the children of Israel had murmured and God sent fiery serpents to bite them. And then Moses was instructed. They came to Moses and said, pray to the Lord for us that he'll take these snakes away. And Moses was called upon to make a brazen serpent and put it up on a pole. And anybody that simply looked to that serpent, they weren't looking to the snakes trying to keep them away. They weren't looking at their wounds. They simply looked to that brazen serpent. Everyone who looked at the serpent was made whole of his disease. Behold the Lamb of God. Don't look at yourself. Don't look at anybody else. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Now, what's that mean? Who is meant by the world? Well, he means Gentile as well as Jew. Every demographic. The Scripture says in Revelation 5, Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, tribe, and nation. You see, I don't believe for a second that Jesus Christ died for everybody without exception, because if he did, everybody except without exception would be saved. You see, his blood is saving blood. He does not shed his blood in vain. But I also know this, his blood is shed for anybody, no matter what their experience is. His blood is shed for anybody who will come to him. Anybody that will plead for mercy, anybody that comes to him, his blood's for you. Listen to this scripture. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 says, For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Now, if you're without strength and if you're ungodly, Christ died for you. Now, if you say, that's not me, well, I can't tell you Christ died for you. He only died for sinners. That's who he came to save. Now, this world, let's say elephants were on the verge of extinction and somehow they were saved. We would say elephants have been saved. Obviously, we don't mean all elephants without exception, but elephants have been saved. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Now, in my marginal reading, there's another word. It says, behold the Lamb of God that beareth the sins of the world. And that is the word. Behold the Lamb of God which beareth the sins of the world. On the cross, Christ was a sin bearer. 1 Peter 2:24 says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, Christ knew no sin. Christ is the only man to never sin. He never sinned. He knew no sin. He didn't know what it was like to be a sinner. But he who knew no sin was made to know sin on the cross when he bare our sins in his own body on the tree. And he experienced everything about sin with the exception of the commission of it. He felt all the shame and the guilt and the degradation brought on by sin, the shame before his Father. The Scripture says, the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Now, if my sin was laid on Christ, that means it is not on me, because it can't be two places at once. But not only did he bear them, the Scripture says he took them away. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Where did they go? Wherever that place is that is described as far as the east is from the west. That's where they went. The word is also translated removed, carried, put away. 1 John 3:5 says he was manifested to take away our sins. And in him is no sins. Now here's the question I want to ask you. Did he do it? Did he take them away? Yes, he did. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. I think of the great day of atonement when the high priest put his hands on the head of the sacrifice, the scapegoat, and the sins were typically transferred, the sins of Israel through the priest were typically transferred from the priest to the scapegoat, and the scapegoat was led to a land not inhabited, the Scripture says, and they never saw it again. The sins of all who believe are taken away. The sin bearer has put them away. Now, I want us to consider this thing of behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. In Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, we read of the Lamb that was slain, the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. Now, I know that we can't really understand eternity, but there is such a thing as eternity, where there's no past, there's no future. Everything is in the eternal now. I know that because God is eternal. He inhabits eternity. He never began to be. He'll never end. Now, do I understand that? Of course I don't. I just believe it. Somebody says, well, how do you know there's an eternity? Well, how do you know there's a God? I know God is. I just know He is. And I know He's eternal. And Christ Jesus was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. The Lamb having been slain. You see, everything God does is eternal. And Christ was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Do you know, before there was ever a sinner, there was a Savior? And all of God's people have always been viewed in the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him. Now, Christ, before time began, was the Lamb slain. You see, He was slain in time because He was slain in eternity. Now, this is something, like I said, that can't be understood, just believed. The Bible says He's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now, behold the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now, first time blood was shed. You know when it was? Our first parents sinned against God and hurled our race into spiritual death. They ran from God's presence. They tried to hide their shame with the aprons of fig leaves they made for themselves. And the voice of God came walking in the cool of the evening toward them. Who's the voice of God? The Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God. The voice of God came walking, the Scripture says, in the cool of the evening and said, Adam, where art thou? He knew where Adam was. He's God. But he's having Adam see what's happened to him. Adam, where art thou? And at that time, Adam did what everybody does. He shifts the blame when he's accused of sin. The woman you gave me, she gave me of the fruit, and I did eat. That's what everybody does. Nobody wants to take personal responsibility for their sin. He shifted the blame, but God preached the gospel to him anyway. He talked about that seed of woman that will bruise the serpent's head. That's talking about the virgin birth of Christ that will crush Satan. And you know when blood was first shed? It wasn't when Cain murdered Abel in the next chapter in Genesis chapter 4. It was when the Lord Jesus Christ slew a lamb right in front of our first parents. How horrified must they have been when they saw blood shed? And he made coats of skins and covered them, which typified the coming Lamb of God who would shed his blood and give us a covering for our shame, even his very own righteousness. Now in Genesis chapter 4, the first story after the fall of our parents, we read of two boys, both the sons of Adam and Eve, and their names were Cain and Abel. And these two men brought sacrifices to God. They saw the need to bring a sacrifice. Both of them did. Cain brought the fruit of the ground. He was a farmer, and he was very proud of his efforts. And I can see him laying these things before the Lord to be offered up, thinking, surely God will be pleased with this. This is my best. God will be pleased with this. Abel brought something completely different. He brought a slain lamb. And you know what the Scripture says? The Scripture says that God had respect to Abel and his offering, his sacrifice. The great God had respect to that, but to Cain and his offering, he had not respect. God disregarded it. He saw nothing in it that he could be pleased with. He had no respect for it. Now, there's two awesome things for God to respect someone because of the offering. And that's how everybody that's in Christ is viewed by God, respected, because of the blood sacrifice. You see, the sacrifice, the Lamb of God, it wasn't that physical blood at that time that did anything for either one of them. It's what the blood typified of the coming Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world, that was coming to be slain in time. The only way sin can be taken away is by the blood of the Lamb. Now, Cain got upset with Abel. I mean, really, it wasn't Abel who was upset with. He was upset with God. Why don't you respect my sacrifice? I've done my best. He and Abel got to talking about it, and I guarantee you they were talking about the sacrifice. Cain was saying, why is it that your sacrifice was accepted? Mine's not. And Abel said, well, because you brought the wrong sacrifice. Cain, we can't be saved by our works. The only way we can be saved is by that coming blood of the Lamb of God, God's Son coming as a representative for us. He had faith. He was looking to Christ only, the one who was to come. And they got in a fight about it, and Cain killed him. He said, blood, I'll show you blood. And he killed him. And Abel became the first Christian martyr, and he died over the issue of the blood of the Lamb of God. Now, let me give you another Old Testament story. It's found in Genesis chapter 22. I think this is one of the most poignant passages in all the Word of God. We read in Genesis 22, beginning in verse 1, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass, and he took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and he saw the place afar off. He saw the place where he was going to have to put to death his own son in obedience to God's command. And Abraham said unto the young men, verse 5, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Now, did you catch that? He said, we're going to go where God told us to do, and we're going to worship, and me and him both will be back here. Now, how's that if he's going to kill him? Well, Hebrews 11 tells us that he knew that even if he killed him, God would raise him from the dead, because God promised that the Lamb of God, the Son of God, was going to come through his seed. And he believed that God would raise him from the dead. He said, I and the lad are going to go off to that mountain and worship, and we're going to come back. Now, he had already killed him in his mind. He purposed, I'm going to do what God says. I might not understand it, but I'm going to do it because God said it. And so we read in verse 6, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they both went up together. Now, I want you to think of Isaac carrying the wood up a hill for his own sacrifice. Did somebody else do that? The Lord Jesus bore his own cross up Calvary's mountain for the sacrifice of himself. Behold the Lamb of God. Now let's read in verse 7. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Do you know every time I hear a message, this is what I ask, where's the lamb? Where's the lamb in that message? Where is the Lamb of God? That's what I want to hear of. The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Now, Isaac says, we've got the wood. We've got the fire. He didn't know he was supposed to be the sacrifice yet. We've got the wood. We've got the fire. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Verse 8, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Now there's, you can't provide anything that God would accept. But God provides the lamb. For God to do something for me or you, he had to do something for himself. God will provide for himself a lamb. You see, for God to be just, he's got to punish my sin. He's got to punish your sin. So how can God be just and yet justify somebody like me or you? He had to do something for himself. He provided the lamb to put away the sin so he can embrace sinners. And God shall provide himself as the lamb. Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is God the Lamb. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God's providing. God shall provide himself as the Lamb. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. Jesus Christ is God. It's only as he is God that he can take away the sins of the world. If he was merely a man, he could do nothing for us. God shall provide himself as the Lamb for the burnt offering. Another scene. God is going to destroy all the firstborn in Egypt. But the children of Israel were going to be delivered. And what were they to do? They were to take a lamb of the first year of the flock without blemish. It had to be a spotless lamb. And they were to slay that lamb. And they were to roast it with fire and eat that lamb. And they were to take the blood of the lamb and put it over the doorpost, the lintel of the door. And God said, I'm going to pass through the land of Egypt. I'm going to destroy all the firstborn. But he said in Exodus chapter 13, verse 12, or chapter 12, verse 13, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. I love that verse of Scripture. He didn't say when I see your faith. He didn't say when I see your good works. He didn't say when I see your sincerity. He said when I see the blood. What was God looking for? He was looking for the blood. Who had to see it? He didn't say, when you see the blood. He said, when I see the blood. And what did he say? He said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Now, everybody in those houses with the blood over the door, they were safe. They were secure. Now, I bet somebody thought, well, what about so-and-so in that house? I mean, he's extra bad. Do you think God's going to spare him? If he was in the house with the blood over the door, yes. God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. You know, in the Old Testament, there was a morning and an evening sacrifice every single day. You began the day with the blood of the Lamb, and you ended the day with the blood of the Lamb. I think of Isaiah chapter 53, where we read of the Lamb who opened not his mouth and is brought as a lamb before the slaughter, so he opened not his mouth. I think of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, not opening his mouth, not defending himself. Now, if I've not done something and I'm accused of it, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to defend myself. I'm going to say, I didn't do it. You know, people take plea bargains, for instance. They say, well, I'm not guilty of that, but I'm afraid of getting punished. Therefore, I'll go ahead and admit to some measure of guilt in order to make my sentence less. No, if I didn't do it, I'm not. I repeat, I'm not going to say I did. I'm going to defend myself. Now, when our Lord was brought before Pilate, he didn't defend himself. He didn't open his mouth. Why? Why didn't he defend himself? Because he was guilty. The sins of God's people became his sins, and he was guilty, and he was getting exactly what he had coming. Behold, the Lamb of Isaiah 53, who opened not his mouth and didn't try to defend himself. Now, when John said, behold, the Lamb of God, he's talking about all those slain lambs point to this Lamb. I love to think of this. The Lord coming up to him and John the Baptist saying to everybody who could listen, behold, here's God's Lamb. Here's the Lamb of God. Here's the Lamb of God's providing. This is the Lamb that was typified to our first parents when the Lord appeared to them and slew that beast. This is the Lamb that was a substitute for Isaac. This is the Lamb where God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. This is the Lamb of God. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Now, would to God that you and I look away from yourself. Right now, by the grace of God, behold the Lamb of God's providing, God the Lamb, who takes away the sin of the world. Now, when I think of the Lamb nailed to the cross, he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Do you know the Father really did forsake him? He did forsake him. Because at that time, the Lamb of God was taking away sin. He was bearing sin. And he deserved to be forsaken at that time because he got what I deserve. I deserve to be forsaken by God. My sin became his, and God forsook him. God turned his back on him. God showed him no mercy or no pity because he was the sin bearer. The justice of God must be honored. Do you know Christ would rather die than let God's justice go unfulfilled and dishonored? Behold the Lamb of God. But I don't want you to only think of him saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? Think of him saying, bowing his head and saying, it is finished. Those are the most glorious words ever spoken. It is finished. Sin has been put away. Sin has been taken away. All of salvation is completed. You see, I'm saved not by my doing, but by the doing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, it is finished. Peter said, you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, received from your vain conversation, which you received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but it is now manifest to you. I'd like to read one last scripture regarding this lamb. John has had a vision in heaven in the book of Revelation. And he says in Revelation chapter 5, verse 1, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written, within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals." Now this pictures all of God's purposes and all of God's decrees. It's written on the front and back, filled up, you can't add anything to it, and it's sealed with seven seals. God's purposes, God's decrees, the Lamb's Book of Life, slain from the foundation of the world. And then John says in verse 2, "And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?' And no man in heaven, in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon." Moses, can you open it? No. What about Paul, the chief apostle? Can you open it? No. John, the beloved disciple that laid his hand on the bosom of the Lord Jesus, lays his head on the bosom of the Lord Jesus Christ, can he open it? No, I can't open it. No man was found worthy to open. Not even Abraham, who was called the friend of God. No man was found worthy to open it. And John says, "And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, 'Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof.'" Now, he's called the Lion of the tribe of Judah in Genesis chapter 49. This is another name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is prevailed. He's able to open the book. "And I beheld," and he was looking for a lion, "and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain." Now this is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not talking about a lamb with wool and horns. This is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ with his physical scars still on his body. "Behold, the Lamb, there stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth unto all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation.'" And that's when they began the great song, "Worthy is the Lamb." Behold, oh God, give us grace to do this. "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world."
To request a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to messages@toddsroadgracechurch.com, or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.